Good morning and welcome to the KGNC Golden Spread Agribusiness News Hour. I'm David Lovejoy.
And this is Bryce Hudson.
And we're joined today on Monday. We always talk wheat, and we've got Dr. Jackie Rudd. He's with the Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Office here in Amarillo, Texas. And Dr. Rudd, welcome to the show.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity. It's always a privilege to talk about what I love, which is wheat.
And that's it. And you do have a passion for it. And you know, if you have a job that you love, you never work a day in your life, they say. So it is a true fact of that you have a passion for this product of Texas wheat. And what you do, you're a wheat researcher, and you lead the breeding programs here in this area. And that has a host of questions we can jump into. But first, I want to let you explain what you do on a day-to-day basis when you're working with Texas wheat, looking for new varieties, what you want to put in that wheat, into that seed, and how that works for the producer at the end of the day.
Boy, this is a great opportunity. Wheat variety development, new varieties of wheat is really what we do. It's genetics, but it has also to do with the agronomic side of things, had to do with insect resistance and disease resistance, and certainly the variable weather that we get here. Our target is wheat producers. But in addition to that, it's got the wheat that we grow in this area is a premium product for bread. And so we have to target the milling and baking industry. And we also have to target the consumers, you know, the ones that eat bread products. When I say bread, it means wheat products, tortillas. There's a lot of different ones. Our target is really the high plains and the rolling plains of Texas, and that's our responsibility. But the impact is much greater.
Right.
Our varieties are grown throughout the Great Plains and actually throughout Texas. We're pleased with that because the farmers like it.
Yeah.
It's a great thing for the producers because of yield, because of the drought tolerance that we get. Our day-to-day, what we do, our annual way of doing things, I guess, is to plant trials at many different locations and then harvest those trials and look at, you know, the grain yield and then actually make bread out of those things.
Yeah.
So the different locations, we get different disease profiles, we get different insects, certainly here in the High Plains where we get drought all the time, almost every single season, especially this year.
Yeah.
And we also have irrigated sites, so with a comparison of dry land and irrigated, and try to get something that does well in dry land, but also responds through the years that we do get some rain, and we show that with the irrigation systems that we have. So that's really it in a nutshell. Mm-hmm. That we grow things at a lot of different locations. We get out and look at them very often. We walk the fields, but also we fly drones over the fields.
Oh, wow.
And we get a lot of information that way. Things just continue to change.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
We're able to select for the genetics as much as we are, what the wheat looks like and what the resistance, you know, we may have good resistance to green bug, but it's nice to know where that resistance came from and how that we can continue to put it into new varieties. So there's a whole lot, but
yeah.
Our responsibility again is the high plains and rolling plains, new varieties. And we're very, very good at that.
Yeah,
top varieties in this area would be TAM 114 and TAM 112. 114 was a 2014 when we released that one. But we got new ones out right now. TAM 115 and TAM 205 are out. The point is that every new variety that comes out is better in some form, some fashion, better insect disease resistance, better grain yield. How we get better yield is to more efficiently use water, whether it's rainfall or irrigation water, so water use efficiency, and then nitrogen use efficiency is something else that's extremely important to us.
Yeah.
But our target is the wheat producers of Texas.
Yeah, and big picture, what I'm boiling it down to is the farming is a generational thing, and the seed that a wheat farmer's grandfather used is not even comparable to the one for the grandson who's farming today, because there's so many variables that affected temperature, soil quality, and you mentioned it just now, the nitrogen fertilizer thing. We've had some, Dr. Outlaw did the research on the pricing of it, and it's changing, and I saw a recent article about how the Secretary of Agriculture is and some congressmen on the Democratic side are saying we need to learn how to do this with a little less nitrogen, a little less fertilizer. What kind of effect does that have if that's something they put into effect to the everyday producer? Will it kill the quality? Will it kill his yield, his profitability?
You know, nitrogen is a very essential nutrient, and you have to have it. And so to skimp on it really hurts not only the grain yield, but the quality of it. If your environment, meaning that such a dry year and just doesn't look like any opportunity, well, then, you know, you don't really need to be putting nitrogen on.
Right.
But if you think you have an opportunity, you're really missing out if you don't apply nitrogen. And it's not only the grain yield, but when I mention quality, it's that the nitrogen is part of protein. Mm-hmm. And you really have to have that for better protein, and so you get better bread quality. And the millers and bakers, they actually seek out wheat in this area because of the high value, the good quality that we have. It's due to varieties, and it's also due to that we have good protein in this area. So it's just it's a tough decision. I understand that.
Yeah.
But nitrogen is important, and that's why nitrogen use efficiency of our varieties is very important too.
And you led us right into our next point. You talk about the quality. You've got the producer into he's going to be the yield, the drought resistance, the insect resistance that are all important to them. But when it comes down to it, we look at a lot of food we grow here in West Texas and across the United States. We feed the world. But I'm hard-pressed to think that the product or the grain that we grow that is really truly from farm to the table more than anything else in this part of the country is wheat. I mean, it plays a big, big role in just directly to the consumer. A lot of other feeds or a lot of other grains are used for feed or things like that. But wheat is truly from the field right to my dinner table. And we have a world where everybody's running around with a protest sign every 2 minutes and everything's bad and everything is wrong. Some people have a negative outlook on some research. We've heard the gluten-free pledges. We've heard that of the new breeding, that the quality and the nutrition of the wheat has gone down. That's not a true story.
Well, I agree. You've very well said, David. It is, in fact, it just hurts me sometimes to read these articles, to hear something, and to run into somebody, and I tell them what I do, and they, some of the really outspoken ones may even talk about the, you know, oh, you're part of the problem.
Yeah.
No, we're part of the solution. That's what our research does. Mm-hmm. The truth is that over last couple of centuries, actually, you know, the bread's been around. The nutrition hasn't changed at all. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of push towards let's, you know, have more ancient grains. Well, ancient grains are great, but they're going to yield about a third as much as what the modern wheat is. And the truth is, the nutritional profiles really have not changed. Mm-hmm. And our varieties are just as good as the ancient varieties, and they have been all along. But something you and I talked about earlier was that what we've neglected, and I think that's a good word,
right,
to do, is to improve nutrition. Mm-hmm. We spend so much time on the producers, and we spend so much time on what's good for the millers and the bakers, and we really need to spend more time on the consumers.
Yeah, that's the key, because if they're not eating it, if they're not putting it on their plate, it's a chain reaction. It goes all the way back to the producer and making a living. And like I said, there's every day. I didn't know what gluten was till about 5 years, and I thought, well, we've been eating it this long. I mean, the world hasn't fallen apart yet. And so that's a thing that we were concerned with. But the bottom line of it is that each day you and your team go out and you look to make that happy balance between what's going to benefit the producer and what's the best product I can put on the shelf. In an average time span, I know you've been doing this for a while, how long does it take to gather a competent analysis of a new product and how it's going to act in the field? And you can then say, hey, you know, the varieties TAM 114, 112, 115, 205, which one is the one that is going to do it for you? And how long did it take to get from the laboratory for, let's say, 114 to the field?
Yeah, the short answer is that we make a cross, meaning, you know, we take wheat variety A and cross it with wheat variety B. We're 15 years away then before a new variety.
Wow.
But the point is that we continuously do that. So our pipeline is full, meaning, you know, that we have generations. Every year we create new genetic populations.
Mm-hmm.
And every year, you know, we release new varieties. And so that full pipeline allows us to make changes and look in different directions. We have the Wheat Quality Council, and it's made up of millers and bakers. And it's mostly the big millers and the big bakers that are part of that. That's a federal or national organization. And it's where wheat breeders get together, and the milling and baking industry looks at our product and they evaluate it. Well, something they've added recently, it's not routine all the time, but they've added it as looking at artisan bread.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, we found that there are differences in taste of different wheat varieties. You know, you've been to any bakery and you smell that beautiful aroma
yes.
of fresh baked bread. But every variety does not make the best bread.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're looking forward to is that spending more time on that aroma and flavor profiles that we have, and nutritional profiles, to really make a better product for the consumer.
And that's the bottom line. That's what you're trying to get to, is what's going to be profitable and easy and effective in the field for the producer, and is the consumer going to enjoy it? Are they going to eat it? Is it going to get on the shelves and go right back out so we can keep that need going?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, what the nutritional part, I said, hasn't really changed.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing that we do know is that whole wheat products, there's really no question that they're better.
Yeah.
Whole grains, whole wheat is just an important part of anybody's diet. But not everybody loves whole wheat.
Right.
And if we increase this aroma and the flavor profile of that, so that whole wheat products taste as good as a fresh loaf of white bread that comes out,
yeah.
I think that's going to take us a long way. And
yeah.
that is really what we're a new project that we're pushing. It's not that we haven't worked on wheat quality. We have.
Yeah,
but we haven't looked specifically at whole wheat products, and we're making another push for that.
Wow.
TAM 114 is currently the premium, what the millers and bakers love to have.
Right.
It is the number one variety in this region, and that is why the millers and bakers come to this area to buy their wheat. We can improve even that. To go to the whole wheat products and really see which varieties carry that through
to fruition. And the thing is, with Texas A&M AgriLife and, let's say, the wheat producers, you guys kind of work hand in hand. Sometimes Texas Wheat is the liaison or conduit to get that information back and forth to the producer, to what you guys are doing in the lab and working on. How does that partnership work, and why is it so effective?
Oh, we have to work for the producer. I mean, it's the producer that grows the product. We create new varieties, and then seed companies license those varieties, and producers purchase seed. And that is just an important part of our funding is partly from seed sales, but a whole lot is from the producers themselves. through the checkoff that happens. We get some of that from the Texas Wheat Producer Board to fund our research, and it's we have to serve the producer, and as I said, that also carries on to the consumer. So the Wheat Producers Board is, and the Wheat Producers of Texas is just extremely important. Not because we get funding from them, but because they represent the producers in Texas.
That's it. Well, Dr. Rudd, it's exciting research, and it's a glimpse into the future, and it's what's going to keep us fed in America and across the world. America feeds the world. Texas feeds a lot of the world. And your work and your research is a huge part of that to make it successful. And we thank you for all your hard work and what you do and your whole team. And we talked about this earlier. You got some and you got one faction that says it's bad and the other. You just have to kind of mine out the facts on these things. And you can find that out. You can go to the Texas Wheat Producers website. They've got some great information on the types of varieties. If you're a producer, if you're a consumer, you can get the facts about what wheat is, what it goes into, the importance of it. Also coming up with the Wheat Producers, there's another avenue. They're going to have their Wheat Producers quarterly board meeting, February 8th, starting at 3 p.m. and February 9th at 9 p.m. A great chance to sit and talk with folks who do this for a living and make the difference. But you make a difference every day, Dr. Rudd, and we really appreciate your efforts.
Well, I appreciate that. And good to talk to you, David and Bryce. It's just important to get real factual information out there. So thank you for what you do.
Yeah, you, to make a truly intelligent decision, you have to take in everything. And you can't go on what the latest fad is or what was on the magazine in the grocery store. You got to dig in for yourself. And the great thing about it is when we have folks like you who do this and take it seriously, and it's about both ends of the – it's not about just making money for the producer. It's about having a quality product in your home. That's the difference, I think. That's the big difference it makes. So thank you, Dr. Rudd. We appreciate you taking time out. We look forward to talking to you again.
Well, I appreciate you guys. Thanks a lot.
All right.
Bye-bye.